You are listening to Tillamook Coast Conversations. I'm Dan Haig, the Director of Trails, Outdoor Recreation, and Accessibility here at the Tillamook Coast Visitors Association. You may have heard me as a guest on the last episode of the podcast. I had such a great time, I figured I'd hop on the mic again, but this time as the one asking the questions. And for this episode, I thought it'd be a lot of fun to speak with Mark and Linda Lytle of Pacific City Fishing. Mark and Linda have been taking groups out on guided fishing trips for almost 30 years, sharing their passions with visitors in the region ever since. Want more information on what we're talking about? Check out the show notes for helpful links as you listen. And with that, here's my chat with Mark and Linda Lytle. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
And thank you.
And it's great to have you guys up here talk a little bit about fishing. It's a big thing in Tillamook County, charter fishing, recreational fishing. But I'd like to hear a little bit about what made you guys tick. Tell us a little bit about how Pacific City Fishing and the history kind of behind the business.
We started in 1997 guiding in Oregon, and then we came to Tillamook County about 18 years ago. And in that process, we've certainly found a wonderful home and a wonderful community, camaraderie, and certainly a place that I feel like we belong. Dory fishing has been around for a very long time in Tillamook County. Certainly something that people have been doing long before we came, but certainly taking people out for the first time to catch their first fish, to make that first memory, it's good stuff.
That's pretty cool. So what makes Pacific City such a good spot, a special spot for fishing?
Well, the history, it started out as a commercial fishing town, and it has a storied and long history for fishing as well as dory boat fishing. But it's a small town, so it feels like a community. At the same time, there's so many other natural resource activities that people can do that sometimes when they get here, they didn't realize that fishing is something that they could do. So we get a lot of folks that come on vacation and we get that last minute call like, hey, I didn't even know we could do this here. So it's great that fishing is still a big part of the culture of Pacific City. We've gone away from the commercial fishing, but now it's, you know, the recreational fishing, and it's still fishing. So I think that's important to the community. It hasn't lost its identity.
That's great. You guys were talking about dory boat fishing. I guess we should back up a little bit. So what exactly is dory boat fishing, and how does it differ from other kinds of fishing?
Well, most of the fishing that you might do recreational and or commercial is from a dock. You're usually in a ramp that everybody traditionally understands as a boat ramp. And people will call us all the time and ask us, where's the boat ramp at? And I was like, there is no boat ramp. We launch right into the surf on good days, on good surf days, and we certainly have to watch that. It's a timing issue, definitely, to get out through the surf. For instance, in the wintertime, there's not a lot of fishing going on out of Pacific City, which also gives the stocks of fish a chance to rebuild on that part of the reef. So basically, it's a half a year type of a deal, more or less. Those stocks build up, and then that gives us the opportunity when we have good weather and good seas to get out there and have access to a lot of fish that haven't seen a hook and line, haven't been picked through, haven't been overfished, and the crabbing as well. That crabbing is a big part of what our customers certainly like, because that comes along with the fishing.
I've seen some photos and videos of dory boats. Never been out on a dory boat, so my first impression is kind of like a roller coaster takeoff. How accurate is that?
Well, that's certainly something I got to pay attention to. I mean, when we get down onto the surf, we're at eye level with the ocean. It's exciting to launch out through the surf and then go through the waves. You better pick a good wave, good set of waves, and you better have a good boat. Traditionally, you know, the dory boat was rowing out through the surf and rowing up through the waves. And there's some old-timey photos and old-timey movies of some really good wrecks. I mean, they'd go up on some big waves, and the boat would tip over, and then they'd lose all their gear, and basically they had a yard sale sitting on the beach. So they ran around, picked it all up, and they did it again. And I think I'm talking about the 40s or so, and probably into the 30s when they used to take the boats down there on the beach and then leave them all summer. There was no bridge. There was no real road out there. You had to drive out there along the beach and or through some dirt paths, basically goat trails, to get there. And anyway, so that's changed. They're not double-ended boats anymore. And I mean double-ended because they don't have basically a bow and a stern that's pointed. Now they're squared off in the back for motor. And the motor's given us a lot of power, a lot of options, a lot more speed, and the ability to take more passengers. We only take up to 6 passengers. And then that gives us room to work and obviously catch the fish that are out there. And our target is rockfish and ling cod and crabs.
Yeah, that was my next question. What kind of fish? I know there's different seasons for all kinds of different fish. What kind of fish do you fish for during different seasons?
The mainstay is the rockfish and the ling cod. Mm-hmm. We get a lot of folks, they want that big old ling cod. They like the rockfish for whatever reason. Maybe they're not fond of salmon, or they come from a state that has a salmon fishery. So they're looking for the whitefish. They want to catch one of those big old ling cods with the big giant mouth and the nasty, gnarly teeth. And they want to have that picture and they want to have that fish. But you know, you never know what you're going to catch out there. There's lots of different species of rockfish. Plus, there's other critters out there every once in a while that we'll grab a hold of. I mean, we've caught octopus and sea stars and some other deep water fish that you might not expect. And then you see other critters out there at times, like the seals or the sea lions are out there. The orcas can be out there. And we've even seen a big tropical turtle before. So it's interesting and it's fun. We have the ones we target, but you never know what you're going to catch.
Okay. So what, when you're, when someone's calling you to plan and book a trip, what kind of experience are they getting with Pacific City Fishing from top to bottom?
They are getting a well thought out adventure. It's going to be planned and organized for them. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be different. You never know what to expect. You might have the flattest day in the world on the ocean, or you might have a little bit of wave out there. You might have a 5 or 6 foot wave that will come out there and make it a little bit more interesting. They're going to get top-notch service. Customer service is a big deal in any industry. And we're going to take their fish. We're going to clean them, fillet them, custom vacuum seal them so they're ready for the freezer. They don't have to do anything with them. The crab are going to be cooked and cleaned. They'll be able to eat some fresh out of the cooker. We bag up the rest for them. We provide them the ice for the coolers even and recipe sheets. So they're not wondering, what am I supposed to do with this when I get home with it? They're going to know what to do with it.
That's nice. I know a big part of what you guys do is the education component of your business. Can you talk a little bit about how you educate your visitors or your guests and get them interested in something they may not typically have thought about before?
Well, certainly talking about other things to do in Tillamook County, the Tourism Bureau gives us some flyers, and those are some really nice hikes. Certainly the hikes don't cost anything, so people can do that as a family event, get out, stretch their legs. Imagine if you're going to a new place somewhere and you're certainly get caught up in some of the tourist things to do, but you want to see some of the local flavor. And when you see some of that local flavor, it's certainly the hikes, the country, the hidden beach, the little access that you're not sure of. You know, certainly we provide that to them on the maps and or verbal directions so that they can have something else to do. I got to say, though, once people go dory fishing, it turns out to be the highlight of the trip. I mean,
I don't doubt it.
It's I want to say, you know, the fishing and the going through the surf, it's not a Disneyland ride. It's for real. We really got to pick it. And some days it can be a little bit bumpy and we have to cancel the trip. I mean, we probably do about that 4 to 5 times a year during this season. But certainly, you know, the summer season, any year is the majority of the time that we go fishing. But we do fish year round. I mean, so even in the wintertime, we get an opportunity.
That's great.
Once we get back with the catch, you know, we can only take 6 people as a max on the boat. A lot of times there's families involved. It's a family reunion or it's several brothers and sisters and all their kids. We'll end up with 20, 30 people back at our place. Babies all the way up to grandparents, great-grandparents sometimes. So, well, they pitch in sometimes. They want to learn how to clean a crab. Mark shows them how to clean a crab. They've never touched a crab before in their life. And pretty soon they're over there cracking away and they're cleaning the crab, getting them ready for the cooker. He'll do necropsies on the fish so the kids can see, you know, what's that big bulge in that fish? What has that fish been eating? What's in that stomach? He'll dissect an eyeball for him. And it's kind of fun to get the little kids involved. It's not just, you know, an icky, slimy thing. They can actually learn something. And it's fun when they're interested and they have questions. And he gets beginner fishermen on the boat. He gets people that have never touched a rod and reel before. and he'll get them on the boat, and he's very patient. We have a deckhand that helps out, helps them learn how to reel, how to feel the bottom. So they're just not being handed a rod and reel and said, you know, here, go catch your fish. He's going to educate them, let them know what to feel for, what to look for on, in the movement of the rod. And then when they come back, they can get a biology lesson if they want.
That's great. It sounds like an all-around experience. And that's a good point. I'm glad you said that. So someone who's a first-time dory fisher, they come to book a trip with you, and you know, they're not sure about what they need to bring or how they need to prepare. What kind of things do you want folks to know as they're preparing for their first trip with Pacific City Fishing?
When I talk to them on the phone, and there's also usually an email string, when they confirm their trip, I send an email. It's a confirmation email that provides also a lot of information about what to expect, what to bring, what kind of license they need, where to get the license, how they're supposed to have the license on them, whether it's paper or using an electronic app. It's also, we provide them with a document about what to expect. And it says, bring your rain gear, dress warm. It doesn't matter if it's August and it's going to be 85 in the afternoon. It's going to be 40 in the morning and you're on the water. So be prepared. Bring your rain gear. You know, bring something to snack on. Bring your cooler. I try to give them as much information as possible. I mean, my one-page email is now 3 pages because of all the different questions and things over the years we've gotten. So I try to provide them as much information up front, refer them to the website, so they have all the information they need. So when they get there, they're not surprised and missing like an important component that would prevent them from having a good time and enjoying their time on the water.
Well, let's use an example. There was some people that came from Florida, and at that time, I don't know that we had a prep one page. You know, we try to give some recommendations, but they came with their shorts and they came with their sandals, and where they came from, it was warm. And it's August in Oregon, but August in Oregon on the ocean is still 40 degrees in the morning. So by the time we got done, they were pretty blue. Mm-hmm. They were happy, got a bunch of fish, but they were frozen popsicles.
Oh my God.
So we got back in, we turned the heater on, so they got warmed up, and I think they still had a good experience, but I know they were quite cold. Yeah. But so we always want to dress warm, and no matter what the day is, no matter what you think it is, 40 degrees on the water at daylight in the Pacific Ocean, you should prepare for.
Yeah, sounds like a good plan. I know one thing that's really important to you guys is conservation and educating people about, you know, the natural resources coming from a fishing perspective. Did you guys want to talk a little bit about maybe how you do that and why that's important to you?
Well, we certainly adhere to our state statutory limits. We want to make sure that those limits are followed. But in the gist of that, we'll ask, what are you going to use? What are you going to actually take advantage of and what you're going to eat? We don't want to take anything that you're not going to use. There's no reason for that. We certainly target the rockfish. And then when we're done targeting the rockfish, we'll change the gear so that we don't catch any more rockfish. There's certainly mortality in catch and release. And I say that it's a percentage. It's not every fish dies or every fish lives. It's a percentage of mortality that's calculated in there. And we don't want to have that if we can avoid it, I guess. And so once we're done with the rockfish, then we're going to go on to lingcod fishing, or we're going to go on to salmon fishing. Because our trip basically consists of going rock fishing and then going lingcod fishing and or salmon fishing. Rarely do we do all three, but there are some days, but rarely do we do all three because we're out on the water an average of 4 to 6 hours. And most of the time you'll see that 4 hour mark hit the guests, and they're pretty much, they've had their fill. They've had their fun at about 4 hours. You can see them. They lose a little bit of enthusiasm at about the 4 hour mark. So anyway, we pay attention to the crowd. Got to read the room, right?
Right. Absolutely. And I think part of that conservation extends from what I understand talking to you guys about is your community, local community support. I understand you have a local deckhand and you guys partner a lot with local businesses. You know, how do you do that? And why is that important to small businesses to work together like that?
Well, being a small community, and we rely on each other quite a bit. We rely on other businesses to refer us to people that go into their establishments. We refer our customers to the other businesses in town. We want to keep it local. We want to support local. And it's important for us to engage members in the community so they feel like maybe they're not maybe a part of our daily business, but they're part of it enough to know that, hey, there's somebody out here that we want to help support. So we want to be our good neighbors.
We have good restaurants in there in town. I mean, all through town are good restaurants. There's certainly, the Twist Winery, people really enjoy that. So we have them go there because it's a real quiet little place. We send people that direction. We certainly send people to all the hotels. We don't have one specifically, of course, but because the town can fill up, Airbnbs are utilized quite often. And the food is good quality. We want everybody to have a good tummy to go out on the ocean. So we want to have a good restaurant with good quality, clean food. And we've got several of those in town. And they certainly take care of their customers as well as us, giving us the opportunity to make sure that someone visiting Pacific City, gets the best of being a guest, I guess, is my point. I know it gets busy in Pacific City in the height of the season, but that doesn't mean that everybody can't have a great experience because there still are no stoplights. There's a flashing light, but there's no stoplights. We can still drive through town. You can still make it from one end of the town in a matter of minutes. It's not that big of a place. Certainly plenty of places, like I say, to stay or Airbnb. Some of them sleep like 20 people at a time or more. So big groups are always welcome in the town. And there's always something to do because even walking on the beach, just simply walking along the ocean is a fulfilling experience. And I think people strive that. We have a lot of visitors come from, like, say, Idaho or so. And those folks really want to see the ocean. They want to feel it. They want to smell it. They want to touch it. They want to walk barefooted in the sand. And that's all an experience that happens after, of course, we get done doing the best thing, which is fishing.
Very nice.
We've been tourists before in small towns, and you always kind of want to experience the local flavor. And who better to ask than someone that's part of the local landscape? And so when people come into town, if they're staying for several days, in the course of conversation, they're milling around us as we're doing our thing with processing their catch. And those things come up in conversation, so we can help direct them to the places that, you know, we think they would like. If it's a family or if they have kids or don't have kids, sometimes that dictates maybe what they're going to go do. But being tourists ourselves, we kind of like to have the local idea of where would you go to have a burger? Because if the local's going to go there, that's where I want to go.
Yeah, that's usually who I follow around when I'm a tourist. So try to find the local joints to hang out, definitely. And Pacific City, right, has a lot of great places to eat and hang out. So it sounds like you guys have a lot of repeat customers, and you must have families that come back every year, and you've probably watched their kids grow up. I mean, do you guys get a lot of repeat customers, a lot of people from around the country and the world?
Yeah, we have some of those that started out as little kids are now bringing their families.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I had a young man, he come on board, and of course, you know, they change as they grow up. And I asked him, I said, where do you do most of your fishing? And he had that surprised look on his face. And he said, well, most of my fishing has been with you. And I said, really? And I said, right on. And then, of course, I'm embarrassed a little bit. And I said, well, when did you start fishing with me or whatever? He goes, when I was 8. And I go, well, how old are you now? 26. And anyway, so I asked him a few questions about his trip and what we had done in the past. And there'll be moments, you know, in all the years that you'll remember certain trips or whatever. And I was able to remember a couple of trips where I think there was a nice Chinook salmon, and one of his family members had it right up to the boat. And I think I did a poor job of netting because it fell right out of the net. No. We caught lots and lots of fish. And then he told the story about his grandma bringing him back a big lingcod. And he was standing there as an 8-year-old. And of course, he was too young, so they said he couldn't go. Oh. Anyway, and so he was looking up at that thing, and it made a dent in his memory. I mean, it made a moment. So he's come back several times. He doesn't come back every year, but he's certainly come back several times. And he's followed me up and down the coast because when we were doing river fishing, we were up north, and then we did some river fishing. And of course, we gave that up. Basically, what happened was those boat ramps that we were talking about earlier, I got allergic to them. Yeah. So I get a rash or anything else that goes on when I get near a boat ramp. So now, of course, we have the beach, and then we have sand, which is a big wide area. And you know, I guess it captivated me as well, because every time you reel something up at the end of the hook, I got no clue what it is. I really don't know what color it's going to be. It could be orange. It could be brown. It could be black. It could be an octopus. The kids love the octopus. I mean, you put them in the boat, and as long as you're not hurting them, they don't freak out. You'll see when they lose their mind, as an octopus loses its little tiny mind, of course, but he'll change color. And if he changes color, you know him or her is upset. So you want to get them back in the water quick. But if they're not changing color and they're just kind of looking around at you, and they're so, so intelligent, and they're just looking around, they certainly want to find a place to get back in the water. But then we'll put them, you know, everybody gets to touch them, everybody gets a look at them, and then put them back in the water. And you'll see them kind of hesitate for a second, look at us, and just give a big squirt of that ink that they have, and then they'll swim away. So it's probably a happy moment for them, if you're an octopus, to go back to home.
Well, it sounds like you guys, it's kind of all in one. It sounds like you're ambassadors, not only for our area, but for Pacific City, and then for the fishing industry and for conservation. And, you know, you're wearing all those hats under one. And it sounds like a busy life.
It's busy, but when you enjoy it and it doesn't feel like work, it's not work.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't feel like an ambassador so much. I mean, as far as we want those folks to be super happy with their experience. And it's not because we want them to come back. It's in genuinely in my heart, I want them to have a good time. I want them to have the most out of their experience. And I know how hard it is to earn money and to spend it on vacation or spend it on something. We don't come from wealthy means. We're just humble people as well, with a little roof and a little place to sleep and a little kitchen and a little bathroom. So I understand that if someone's going to spend some money on something like this, we certainly want them to have the best time they certainly can. And when you're meeting new people and you're in, I guess, I never thought about it as a tourism industry or a tourist director or anything like that. I just thought about it like, man, I know how to catch some fish and I can help people catch fish. And when they catch fish for the first time, a lot of people come and they're like, I didn't know we were going to catch any fish at all. And I can only think of three times in the last 18, 19 years out here that we didn't catch all of our fish as far as what they could use. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's why I say it's a good prolific fishery. It's abundant. It's healthy. And for someone to go out there and to have that adventure on the Pacific Ocean certainly is, I guess, something that we're grateful to be a part of, I guess. I guess tourism started in Tillamook County, I thought, oh, they're doing tourism for me. I thought, it's all for me. And I might be a little arrogant, but it was, what else is there going to do? What else is there but fishing? It is our life. It's our lifestyle.
Excellent. We got to know. So what's your favorite fish, each of you, to fish for and to catch?
Oh, gosh. Well, I love fishing for Chinook salmon. But the rockfish and the lingcod, mm-hmm. you can't beat it, because you know they're out there. You can get rockfish after rockfish. You get to feel them bite. And when you reel it up, like, you know, we said earlier, you never know what you're going to get. You don't know if you're going to get the tiniest one or if you're going to be the one that's going to have the big one on the boat that day.
Right.
Lingcod is my favorite.
Lingcod
is amazing.
That's amazing.
And you got to work for them. Mm-hmm. Some days. I mean, and some days you don't. But super, super happy that the population of lingcod off the Oregon coast is very, very healthy. It's actually coming up, from what I understand on some of the surveys. Mm-hmm. So as time has gone along, we've gotten better at it, or there's more fish. I don't know what. Probably let's just say there's more fish, because but I could say we've gotten better at it, so we're getting more lingcod, and it stretches out through the entire season. It's not, people call all the time and say, what's the best time to come for this, that, and the other thing? And honest to goodness, the best time to go is when you have time, because we can find something every single day of the year, as long as we can get through the surf and get out there. We can find something entertaining to do, even if it's my three jokes. We'll leave those for the boat.
We'll leave those for maybe for the edit floor. So from a guest perspective, are there any like really fun quote unquote fishing stories that you guys can share that, you know, either from your guests or from you, what are there, is there an instance that stands out or a couple instances?
Well, I think it's the first time someone sees a fish, especially the little people. I mean, we've had them as little as 4 years old, and that seems young. But that little person, when he was catching fish, and of course I would throw a rod out my rod out for him. And every time I hooked a fish, I'll let him reel it in. Right. And of course he's catching it. And I think when he hit, I had him going because he hit 10 and he would say, "I got 10, Papa." And then he'd say, "I got 11, Papa." And I think about 16, Papa said, "Okay, I got it. And let's see, he's 8 now, I guess, or 9.
8 or 9.
And yeah. Still coming back.
Oh, yeah.
And outfishes everybody on the boat.
Okay. Every time. I make sure of it.
Yeah. You got a ringer. That's nice. But
we also had, you know, I say young lady, she was 93 or 4. Mm-hmm. And she went fishing and she caught the biggest Chinook on the boat, where her son-in-law was calling his wife and saying, "You're not going to believe what your mother just did." She was 93 or 94 years old, reeled in that thing by herself, wouldn't let anybody help her. Mark was back there with the net, and she had such a good time, and she was so proud. It was a bucket list item for her.
That's amazing.
And to be a part of some of those bucket list items is fun because, you know, when you're 93 or 94, you don't have that many years left. But for us to be part of her bucket list, it was really special.
Yeah, I've seen your shop or your garage where you do all the shrinking, the wrapping of the fish. And there's a lot of pictures on the wall. If you guys, anybody ever goes and fishes with Mark and Linda, and there's a lot of happy faces in those pictures going back years and years and years. So it definitely is an experience to remember. If you guys are looking ahead like you had a crystal ball and you're looking ahead at your business or Pacific City, you know, 5 years from now, what do you see happening with either or?
Well, I see it being consistent. I mean, keep in mind that they've been dory fishing out of there since, well, I'm sure the Indians did it. And, you know, out of smaller boats, I mean, they didn't have a dory, of course, but on flat days, you can take a canoe out there. I still see it being pretty good. The State Department of Fish and Game is doing a wonderful job with their efforts to keep stocks in good, healthy shape. The only time that we might have a tough time finding fish is when the temperature changes so hard and so drastically in the ocean. And people might think, well, it's just, you know, it's not a big puddle and it's not a big pond. It's got flow, it's got current, it's got changing temperature all the time from the north or from the south, depending on the prevailing winds. It's a moving, living thing. So if we get a big, big shot of cold water all of a sudden, the fish are still there. But I think I just envision them sitting down on the bottom and shivering all the time, a little shaking and a little bit of bubbles blowing. But no, they're not real interested in grabbing anything. But we can usually figure out how to get them to go on something. Like I said, I don't think that we have just 3 days in all the 18 or 19 years that we've been just dory fishing. But river fishing now, that's a little bit different. You're cycling through fish that will come and go on a migratory basis. But the fish off Pacific City and the fish off that are on these on the reef, and I call it a reef because it's a giant reef that it has mountains, it has cliffs, it has big rocks, it has valleys. And certainly we check in and try to look at every one of those things with a fishing lure. And they might not be in that canyon or might be behind this other rock over here, but we'll end up finding something out there regardless of the temperature. But some days it takes a little longer. Some days it takes some time. Some days it's more fishing than catching. And I got to tell you, I'm not really into fishing much, but my friend, I'm into catching.
There you go. If you're going to take nothing home from this interview, take home that. We're into catching. I'm going to put that on a shirt. So how about you, Linda, when you're looking at the future of Pacific City fishing or even just Pacific City, what are you envisioning?
We plan on being around for quite a while. We enjoy what we're doing. We are at the place in our life where we can do this full time and take the winters to relax and go play. and it kind of rejuvenates you in the winter. You get ready for the long summer. It can be a long summer. It's 3.5 straight months, almost every single day, up at 4 a.m., meeting customers sometimes at 4 a.m. So you're going to bed very early, or I'm answering phone calls from people that are calling from the East Coast at 4 a.m. because they don't realize what time it is. So we play hard in the summer. We work hard. We're not tired of it yet. We're still raring to go.
Excellent. So if anybody's interested in reaching out to you and wants to book a trip and maybe they want to learn more about fishing with you guys, how can we put them in touch with you?
They can go to our website, pacificcityfishing.com, and our contact information is on there. We post on Facebook, then go to our Facebook page, Mark Lytle's Pacific City Fishing. Contact information is there.
We have a YouTube channel.
They can go there and get information off of there as well.
Excellent. And I should mention that your Facebook page and your social media was just awarded marketing, excellence in marketing by Tillamook Coast Visitor Association. You guys have done some great photos on Facebook. It's social media can be hard, but when you look at a page like that, it really tells the story of what you're doing and who's in charge of all the photos.
Well, we really coveted that award and we're so honored. I'm not kidding you. We really did. We reposted it on our Facebook and we got the award up there on the wall next to all the pictures. It's the wall of fame, right?
There you go.
And we encourage the customers. If you got an 8x10, you fished, it doesn't matter, but most of our photos are of fishing with us. Bring it with you if you repeat. We put it up there. Everybody wants to do it, especially the younger people. But that award's up on the wall. We're proud of it. Like I said, we reposted it and we got a lot of comments on our Facebook page about it. We recently, like I said, last summer, we started that YouTube channel, Pacific City Fishing. And we did, of all things, a crab cleaning short, less than 60 seconds. And the last I seen on that page, either it had 1 million views or 4 million views, one of the two. But anyway, one of those numbers is pretty high. and it went viral and it went worldwide. I couldn't believe it. I had people from Taiwan, China, obviously languages that I didn't, understand, but to translate on the little button there, it gave me an opportunity to view it. And they would ask all kinds of questions. And don't get me wrong, for us to get food, you are taking an animal's life. So there was some of that. Sure. I was surprised at how much people were against eating crab. But that was a small percentage, I guess. And then, but the process of cleaning a crab is so natural to me and so normal everyday adventure. I had no clue that was going to be a video short on YouTube that was going to go viral.
It's a cool video. Check it out on Mark and Linda's YouTube page. If I tried doing that, I'd probably cut my hand off, but it is a pretty amazing video and all their other videos too. You guys, so wrapping up, final thoughts, what do you want people to know about Pacific City Fishing or just keep in mind?
Well, it's certainly an adventure. I'd like to say that, I go through life and I'm 59 now. And I can look back and I can think of, well, this really important day, your wedding day, or really important day, the birth of your children. And I'd put right there at number three, dory fishing. Dory fishing is number three. You got to do it. You got to give it a try. And we're not trying to sell anything. We're just trying to say it's an event and it's going to make a dent in your memory.
Linda?
I agree.
100%.
Yes.
Yep. And if you've never seen it live or never seen on a video, it is an experience to have. So Mark and Linda, I want to thank you both for joining me. And here's to many more years of catching fish.
Well, thank you, Dan. Thank you for Tillamook County Tourism. It really, really has been a godsend in our life.
All right.
Thanks, Dan.
Yep. You guys have a good one.
Bless you.
Thank you for listening to Tillamook Coast Conversations. Don't forget to check out the links in the show notes to learn more about Mark, Linda, and the incredible work they do to promote sustainable tourism in Pacific City. And by the way, at the time of our recording, the YouTube short Mark talked about was up to 15 million views. Tillamook Coast Conversations is produced by the Tillamook Coast Visitors Association. Music is by Eric Sappington and Mercury Coast, and the show is edited by John Richardson. If you haven't already, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or comment on the episode on Spotify. And be sure to subscribe to the podcast on your preferred app so we can continue to venture coastward together.